I'm Chris Reback. Today we continue our series of conversations with In Tandem Managing Partner Elliot Cooperstone. So let's set the stage. You had an investment thesis. You had a desired sector. You found a target investment. And now, after months, maybe longer, of meetings, discussions, financial reviews, trust building, starts, stops, finally, success. The investment is complete. What happens now after, of course, I hope, a round of handshakes and toasts? What happens?
Well, you know, yes, handshakes, toasts. We're also huggers at the firm. We do really savor the moment, but we are recognizing, even in that celebration, that it's just the beginning. We have managed to get ourselves to the start line, and the hard work is really only ahead of us at that point.
My guess is that you absolutely enjoy and respect the celebration, and that after about 15 minutes of that, you and the management team are really focused on what's next. So can you take me through that? Why does a clear strategy and plan matter?
At the outset of an investment, it's absolutely critical that the company strategy be well articulated, and that the processes that are necessary to affect that strategy be well defined. And just as important, that the organization is structured properly so that the strategy can be successful. But I think it's also important to recognize that even where a company that we have acquired has successfully grown to be a market leader, we're usually making an investment because together we see an opportunity to accelerate growth, you know, to take on some new path. And there is going to be a whole series of changes associated with that.
How do business owners react when you talk to them about these ideas and about these ways of going forward? They've been successful entrepreneurs. They've been successful business people.
It really does depend on the individual. But if I were to generalize, I would say that entrepreneurs don't necessarily like taking the time at the outset to slow down and focus on some of these planning elements. You know, they've had a lot of success generally by competing on speed. And, you know, they're accustomed to very often a command and control approach to managing, where they can literally yell down the hall, change direction, and have the result of that change go on 5 minutes later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it served them well. It brought them to the point where it created our interest in the company. So it's hard to argue with the approach that's made them successful, at least in their mind, until you realize that with the sort of growth that will come together through our partnership, no one's going to be able to yell down the hall and change anything for very much longer.
Do you have processes, tools, anything to kind of help facilitate and build on that foundation?
We do. We have a really extensive library of tools that we use, and lots of examples of how those tools have been developed and customized for each individual situation. So we are not starting from scratch. And the tools really become relevant in different measures through the different stages of the investment. So, for example, at the beginning of the investment, we're generally focused on three or four really critical tools: the 100-day plan, the strategic intent document, the message map, and the communication mechanisms would be, the, generally speaking, the four things that we're focused on coming right out of the gate.
Elliot, do you have an example of a entrepreneur, like a specific reaction where that entrepreneur said, oh man, I was really skeptical about this going in, Elliot, but now I can't believe, I mean, this is a map to our future. And it's just, this is an incredible thing to have this for all of us.
I'm reminded of Dr. Marlo Hernandez, the CEO of Cano Health, the quintessential entrepreneur who, when we first met, would move faster than most people think. So the idea of generating an organizing framework for company strategy was almost antithetical to his day-to-day. But we went through the process of talking about why this would be important, how the company was changing, you know, why we had to set this foundation so that not just he and not just his team and not just the folks in South Florida, but that people in other regions could ultimately understand the strategy of the company and how we were executing it as well as anybody in his inner circle. He really dug in hard and took ownership of developing the document, worked with his team to do so, And it wasn't only a few weeks later that every couple of days I started receiving a new version, an update, more refined. And when he felt it was ready, he brought the entire team offsite for 2 days to do nothing but go through this and make sure it was as perfect as it could be, because the next step was then going to be to hold a series of cascading meetings throughout the organization so that everybody could literally get onto the same page.
Elliot, communications overall, I mean, you just talked about it, and it's what the message map is about. It's what that strategic intent document is about. It is, I would assume, in many ways, what the 100-day plan is about. I would equally believe communication must always be a challenge for companies.
There's actually data on that. We know from many studies that a company will perform to its highest potential when its members, its staff members, feel like they can do their best work every day. And in order for people to feel that way, there has to be great understanding of what's going on in the company. And leadership has a responsibility to make sure that that's in place. They have to capture the hearts and minds of everybody to create that level of inspiration. How can that be done without really effective communication? Impossible. In smaller companies, even mid-sized companies, systems for communicating efficiently in really complex environments typically don't exist. So what we've done is we've taken the best of, created a framework for a communication system, and then with each portfolio company, we review it and customize it so that the leadership team has a plan and has a framework that they can put to work.
Sure.
It does start with the CEO, with the CEO's weekly staff meetings, with the CEO's weekly one-on-ones with direct staff. The CEO can model the right behavior for his or her management team so that the management team members then understand how to do effective staff meetings and effective one-on-ones. And that kind of activity cascades throughout the organization. But then there are all kinds of other sorts of communication methods that need to go on, from town hall meetings to a well-designed extranet to lunch and learns to skip-level meetings. They all have a purpose. They all have a different tempo that is meant to be followed. And, you know, we have the playbook. We just need to customize it, teach it, and then have it be adopted in the company. And it makes a really positive difference when there's a deliberate, planful approach to communication.
Why am I not surprised that you have a mindful approach to every step along the way, Elliot? Thank you. Thank you for this conversation. I look forward to our next one.
Thank you too, Chris.